to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show here. It is Wednesday, middle of the week, hump day. It is also April 15th, tax day. Ooh. It's also the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic, which I think is rather iconic given the state of our economy right now and the extreme anger with which the American people are experiencing and the utter contempt we hold for the government that has gotten us into this mess. I think looking back over some of the actions of the government, it is not at all unlike the mistakes made by Captain E.J. Smith leading up to the loss of the Titanic, ignoring the obvious signs of warning, charging ahead without proper safeguards. I mean, arrogance and hubris, that's what you're going to bring down the ship, going to bring down the United States of America. Now, the Dow had another good day. It was sort of up and down all over the place. It was headed down, then all of a sudden, just before the closing bell, hard upward shove, and it ended plus territory, 109. It's back in the 8,000s again, and everybody's saying, yes, go, economy. See, the Dow is up. Everything is wonderful. You can go back to your work, slaves, and stop complaining. Meanwhile, the same day, we're hearing that Michelin is going to shut their U.S. factory down, cutting about 1,000 jobs because people just aren't buying the tires anymore. We don't have jobs to drive to. You know, that makes sense. Industrial production continued to decline sharply in March. Also in March, foreclosures soared 44% over February. We're not talking 44% over a year ago March. We're talking a 44% increase in foreclosures in a single month. Meanwhile, the LA School Board has voted to lay off 5,400 employees in the Los Angeles School District. They're cutting all the wrong stuff. We're spending more and more money on bombs and wars. We're letting our teachers go. We're letting our industrial capacity go. It's just nonsense. The other news that we got today, and this is what makes this whole thing about the Dow so weird. The U.S. economy has actually gone into deflation for the first time since 1955. Our economy is actually deflating. What do they mean by that? Well, imagine a giant leech fastened onto your neck, sucking your blood out by the gallon. And what happens to your body, it starts to shrivel and collapse flat. That's kind of what they mean by deflation. That's what's happening to our nation. As Wall Street and the politicians suck what little money is left in our society out to put in their own pockets, the rest of the country is just kind of shriveling up into this empty husk that they're going to leave behind when they head on off to the Caymans or wherever they're going. Now, obviously, today's big news story are the tea parties across the nation, thousands of them. I'm already getting people who are sending me photos in from the tea parties they've been to. As soon as I'm done with my radio shows today, we are heading out to the one that's scheduled in Honolulu tonight with all of our camera gear and video gear. We're going to be taking a lot of videos and get that back up here at well. And, you know, it's obviously been a huge phenomenon. The corporate media has been forced to cover it. It was simply too big. And yet we still see the same tricks going on when they're shooting their talking head talking about the protest. It's a narrow camera angle. They don't want you to see how many people are there so they can say, well, a small crowd has gathered here in the Capitol. And then if they make a mistake and pan wide, you realize it's a huge, huge mass of people. And so they're playing these little and the propaganda is so desperate. I mean, they're out there still saying, oh, this is just GOP. This is just GOP. Where were you when Bush was screwing up with the economy? And said, well, we were right here. Okay, and we were complaining just as loudly when Bush was in office. So don't try that one. It's the old divide and conquer. They are desperate to create an artificial divide between, you know, left versus right, us versus them. You know, get the Democrats yelling at the Republicans and get the Republicans yelling at the Democrats. It's the oldest trick in the book. And the good news is it looks like it doesn't work anymore. Because I was very pleased to see in some of the photos that we're already getting from the Tea Parties, people standing up there and saying, we're all taxed too much. Don't fall for divide and conquer. And that's the message we've been trying to get out here. Don't let them split you up. The problem is the real divide, the real conflict is between 300 million Americans and a bunch of corporate CEOs and Congress. That is the real conflict. and they know if it really gets out of hand, they can't beat us. So they're going to say, oh, well, we'll get the men arguing with the women and the women arguing with the men, and we'll get the young arguing with the old and the blacks arguing with the white. And it's the same game they've been playing all along. Go back and study the history of COINTELPRO. The government was trying to create racial divides to distract everybody from the fact that the real crisis in our society was we were pouring our young people into Vietnam and they weren't coming home. We were losing that war. And rather than allow people like Martin Luther King to say, you know, the draft is wrong because it's preferentially targeting black people, they increased racial riots, assassinations, just all kinds of stuff to keep us at each other's throats. Don't fall for it. The enemy is the greedy bastards who wrecked the economy. The greedy bastards who knew that iceberg was out there and steered that ship of state full tilt boogie on through the darkness and just saying, God loves us. He'll never let us run the ship into an iceberg. Krong. We're down by the bow taking water and we're headed on down. And Obama, rather than going down with the ship like any good captain, he's like going to promote one of the cooks. Say, yes, you're in charge of the Titanic now and you get it to New York and we'll give you a bonus if you succeed. Now, some of the other things that we were seeing out there, an Orange County newspaper was trying to claim that the tax protest tea parties were a haven for neo-Nazis. I mean, that is how completely just blind panic is out there, that we're going to stop paying our taxes, that we're going to refuse to pay for the government's mistakes and corporations' mistakes anymore. And we ought to. We ought to. It's perfectly okay, you know, if we're going to pay taxes and we get back to the taxes, we get roads and we get schools and we get hospitals and we get utilities and we get an infrastructure that supports our efforts to start and run businesses. That is reasonable. That is a healthy, mature society. But there's no reason we should be paying taxes for billions to be sent to Israel so they can buy things that kill Palestinians. There's no reason for us to be taxed into poverty so that Wall Street whiz kids who screwed up don't have to pay the price for it. That's a very inappropriate use for tax money. I think it may even be illegal. So the American people are very, very angry, and today's Tea Parties was the start. We made an impression. Now, for reasons I'm going to tell you in a minute, it's obvious the U.S. government isn't going to listen. They really can't. They're trapped by their debts. They are forced to basically go on squeezing money out of us by any means, fair and foul, for their corporate masters until the system all falls apart, which may not be all that far off. But we are sending a message that foreign governments and foreign investors are studying very, very closely. Because remember, that foreign investment capital, trillions and trillions of foreign investment capital is kept in the United States with the U.S. government's promise that even if things go wrong, we'll make those taxpayers cover the losses for you. That was the promise that was demonstrated in the 1980s savings and loan debacle. More about that in a minute. And that's what they're demonstrating right now with bailout after bailout after bailout. Come to the U.S., gamble with your money in the biggest open-air casino of all, and if you win, you get to keep it. And if you lose, well, we'll make those wonderful, swell taxpayer folks cover the losses. That's what's really going on. Now, thankfully, none of the protests got violent. There was one attempt to sort of create the idea that a CNN reporter was being harassed by the tax protesters, and they tried to really turn that into a crisis. It really didn't work. And she was up there with the same thing about, well, you know, these are all anti-government extremists, and they're Republicans, and we can't trust them, you know. And they had the National Guard out on alert in a couple of places. But again, no violence. Nobody got hurt so far. You know, we're still here in the middle of the day, and the West Coast is still cranking up their stuff. But so far, it's very peaceful, and that's fine, because we're trying to make a statement here. Violence only helps the government, because then it justifies ignoring the message, and it justifies military crackdowns. So we're going to come back on this topic in a minute. If you'd like to join us on the air, the number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and we will be right back.
to Cascadia Public Radio.
Listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about tax day tea parties, the tea party protests all across the country. Thousands of them out there sending a message to the U.S. government, sending a message to the world. The U.S. government is not going to listen. They are trapped by their own debts. They are hopelessly on the hook to the Federal Reserve. And basically, the federal government has got one of two choices. Go on driving the American people into serfdom for the benefit of the bankers, or go out of business. Personally, I prefer the latter one. Barack Obama had one comment today regarding the Tea Party protesters. He wanted to pretend this whole thing didn't exist. In fact, the Secret Service cleared out the Tea Party protest taking place at Lafayette Park across the street from the White House. And the excuse given, you're going to love this one, somebody dropped a tea bag over the fence of the White House. Oh, the horror, a tea bag on the White House grounds. And this was the excuse for the Secret Service to basically disperse the crowd, put up police tape, basically violating the First Amendment right to freedom of expression, the First Amendment right to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. I mean, we're already back to where we were in 1776 with a government that is taxing us for foreign wars and doesn't want to listen to us. We've been down this road before. Hopefully we'll get through this without having to kill as many people. But we do seem to be pretty much at that area. It wasn't all that long ago, Claire Wolf was famous for the saying about we're being at that awkward stage in our societal evolution. It's too late to work within the system and too soon to shoot the bastards. And then she came out more recently and she said, I was wrong. It's time to shoot the bastards. And I'm getting that. Actually, a lot of stuff. I'm getting a lot of email from people. You can just hear it in their voice. Everybody is coming to accept that we're at a crisis point. The government won't back down. The people won't give in anymore. And conflict almost seems inevitable. I keep hoping the U.S. government's just going to collapse the way the USSR did. That's my best ultimate outcome. Too much debt, too much distrust, too much corruption, and it just sort of folds in on itself. But the general sense is we're there. We're down to that choice of we fight for our freedom or we agree to become slaves for the rest of our lives. I'm not the slaving kind. I'm not comfortable on my knees. And at my age and weight, getting down and up onto my knees is kind of a problem anyway. So that's a good reason right there to resist tyranny. Now, getting back to Barack Obama, he basically came out and he made a speech. And I came to realize the reason for his speech yesterday, where he came out and said, we're going to do this and going to do this, he was trying to head off the tax protests, saying, things are going to be great, just trust us a little while longer and we'll get it all working. Well, that didn't work, obviously. So today he had another comment in response to the Tea Party protest saying that he's already cut taxes. And he came out and he said, we have delivered the most progressive tax cut in history with 95% of families getting a tax break in every paycheck. Yeah, nickel here, nickel there, nickel down the road. You can give 95% of Americans a $1 per paycheck tax cut. Is it really, really going to change the economic realities of this nation? And that's really what we're talking. I mean, you remember when he first took office and I started calling him the token president? It has nothing to do with his skin color. It's because everything he does to keep his campaign promises and to take care of the people is a token gesture. And this is another one. Barack Obama has added $100,000 to the total tax debt of every taxpayer. And he wants to give you a $100 tax credit and say, look, this should make you happy. And you have to hire a $200 accountant just to fill out the paperwork for that $100 tax credit. This is an insult. Real tax relief is 50% cut across the board. 50%, not 1%, not an additional tax credit for working mothers, not more paperwork shoveling. Paperwork simplification, paperwork, let's get rid of it. We're killing off the trees with all these tax forms. A 50% cut across the board of all taxation. at a minimum. That is absolutely the minimum. And we can afford to do it. We could have a 50% cut in federal taxes and not lose any services, not that we get that many, but we wouldn't have to give up any of the services that we do get. All we'd have to do is lose our national psychotic obsession with traveling around the world killing brown people. Because if you look at the amount of taxes collected by the United States and what it is spent on compared to other more enlightened, more progressive societies than the United States, where they, yeah, they'll take taxes from you, but you get stuff back for it. You get health care. You get college education. You get decent roads. You get a good infrastructure that supports your efforts to build and run businesses. Here in the United States, they're taking tons of money from you and then leave you on your own to fend for yourself. You got to pay for your own medical care. And it's the most expensive medical care in the world. And you've got to pay for your own education, usually by going hideously into debt for it. And the roads are in terrible shape. And now they want you to volunteer. It's a mandatory volunteer thing, which tells you how Orwellian Washington is thinking right now. They're going to make you go out and fix your own roads and your own infrastructure. So it's just an untenable situation here. And for Obama to come out and say, well, I've already lowered taxes, don't yell at me for token cuts. You don't drop $100,000 in debt on our heads to benefit Wall Street, turn around, hand us a $100 bill, and think that is going to buy our forgiveness. If anything, it's an insult. It's like that moment in the book, The Tale of Two Cities. And by the way, Barack, if you haven't read it lately, I really suggest you do. That moment where the nobleman runs over a small child in his carriage and he just flings a coin out the window to pay for the damage. And as he's heading along his way, they throw the coin back at him. That was what Barack Obama just did. He and Bush and every president before him for the last 30 years have ruined the national economy and driven us all into poverty, and he's going to fling a coin out of the window of his little armored limousine and hope that that will buy us off. No such luck. Not going to happen. Obama could not have angered the American people if he'd stood up there and said, let them eat cake. That is exactly the degree of insensitivity that we're seeing out there. Now, as I said before, some of the stuff that we're getting in, and we're put it up there. In fact, there's one I'm going to recommend that you read. Go out to whatreallyhappened.com and look for an article called The Nature of the Beast and read it all the way through. It is not unique in its tone and hostility to what is going on out there in the United States, and you need to read it. And again, those of you listening from other countries, you need to basically tell your local friends, your local neighbors, your local investors, your business community, pay attention to what's going on in the U.S. because those American taxpayers, they're not going to go on bailing out bad business investment. And it may be time to start rethinking that global investment strategy. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Dave in Texas. Aloha, Dave. Welcome to the show. We're almost at the commercial break, so go start now, then we'll take you through the commercial to the other segment.
All right, I appreciate that. I have a radical proposal for consideration.
I am not hearing Dave.
Hello?
Hello, there you are. I thought we'd lost you. Dave, I need you to just hang onto the phone for a couple more minutes. We've got to do a couple of commercials, and then we'll be back to talk to you about whatever it is you want to talk about.
All right.
This is the What Really Happened radio show. I'm your host, Mike Rivero. Phone number is 800-259-9231, and we will be right back.
GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going to go right back to the phones to Dave in Texas. Aloha, Dave. What's on your mind today?
Afternoon from Texas. How are you doing here, Michael? I have a radical suggestion for your consideration, just as an existential discussion, very quickly, on the tax issue. I consider myself a strict constructionist. I'm a member and supporter of the Patriot Movement. I do, among other things, call for the eventual repeal of the 16th Amendment. It will take time, but I think it should go. I don't think
How can you repeal something that may not have even been ratified in the first place?
It probably wasn't ratified in the first place. Just ask Red Beckman and Ray Benson about it. But I also propose getting rid of the Federal Reserve System and having real government or real Treasury-backed notes with gold and silver backing and replacing the fiat most of the Fed. But I propose, instead of just having people debate some of the alternatives to the income tax, one of which you may have heard of, Neil Bortz likes to talk about a so-called fair tax, and as well as something to be considered, I actually propose the strict constitutional alternative of no federal capitation tax of any kind.
I agree with you.
I think the states should determine what, if any, social programs they want to do at a state level, not lose that $2.5 or more trillion to the federal government. They don't even get half of which taken out of their economies back to the, from the federal government. There would be a real stimulus package without debt involved. They would keep that money and decide what they want or need to do through state legislatures at the state and local level, and the federal government should stay out of it and do nothing more than what the Constitution prescribes under the 10th Amendment. And then the federal government should have fair trade and possibly some import duties to help, as they did before 1913, to pay for those things, and no direct capitation taxes. Maybe some business taxes, but not direct capitation taxes.
Well, I'm absolutely in agreement with you. I mean, the United States got along just fine without a Federal Reserve and without an income tax on the labor of its citizens for well over 100 years. And in that time, built a mighty, prosperous nation with one of the highest standards of living in the world. But, you know, I guess that didn't sit well with a bunch of bankers who thought they're supposed to be rich and everybody else is supposed to be poor.
Exactly.
So we got the Federal Reserve by very nefarious means. We got the 16th Amendment equally by nefarious means. And it is a dirty trick. And as I'm going to go into in a little bit in the show, they know it's all a fraud. They know it's a hoax. It's not a question of whether they've misread or made a mistake. They know it is a hoax. And it's all about enslaving the people, because they print up the money, drop it in at the top on their friends who get to, like, spread it around and do what they want and have fun with it. And then as it comes out the bottom, rather than let it collect at the bottom and elevate the lives of the working and middle classes, they suck it out with taxes to keep us poor. The big lie of capitalism is that everybody can be rich. That's not true. Capitalism only works if there is an enforced wealth differential between the rulers and the ruled, and that's what taxation is. It's the impoverishment mechanism, and that's why they're sucking as much money out as they can, and they dump it on really dumb, stupid ideas. They're giving it away to other governments around the world. They're finding any excuse they can to spend it, because the goal isn't to make the nation richer. The goal is to make themselves richer and to make the rest of the nation permanently so poor that they can never quit the workforce.
I agree with that completely, and they want to rule over everyone, both nationally and globally, and I disagree with their trying to do that. And I think the patriot-minded, hopefully majority of the population, needs to eventually take our country back from the ground up legislatively, the state legislatures, and then ultimately at the national level beyond that. But very quickly, I believe if we didn't have all the heavy federal and complicated tax system we have today, it would be easier for the average person to go out and just start their own small business, be self-employed. We would dramatically reduce unemployment. People would be self-employed, and they would earn their own keep. I think people should work for their own instead of rely on government welfare, for the most of those who are able-bodied, certainly. And we have explosion of small business. The big businesses want the heavy tax system that discourages a person from starting their own small business, because they make it virtually impossible with the complications of the tax code, and then they don't have to face any competition. If you had a bunch of small, independent, self-employed American business people from a grassroots, ground-up approach, the economy and society would be better off, and that's what our founding fathers originally intended for this country to have, and we need to get back to that.
We absolutely do. The question is, can we get back to it violently or peacefully?
I hope peacefully, but we need to get back to it.
Yeah, we do need to get back to it. Dave, we got to let you go here. The phone lines are really loading up today. We're going to go to Tony in California. Aloha, Tony. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
Hi, Mike. How you doing? I want to talk about mass media cheerleading for taxes. And since it's tax day, I think this is a great subject to bring up, because about maybe 2-3 years ago, I just basically kind of stopped watching television. I mean, I have a television and I watch DVDs once in a while, but I don't have cable in the house. I don't need to spend that extra $100 a month or whatever. And I mean, I'm thankful that you watch it though, so that other people don't have to. But I wanted to comment on the stories that I'm seeing on there. It's all just this, whatever the latest murder is, and And then there's two other stories. There's one of them is about a tax shortfall. And I live in California, so it's, you know, they're really pumping the story that if you don't pay your taxes, well, we're going to fall short on the budget. And then, you know, and then they list all these things like the roads and schools might have to be cut back. And then there's another story about how late filing costs more. Now, I was on the Internet last night, and I saw a YouTube video. It's the Donald Duck video from World War II. Did you put that?
I haven't put that up yet. I really should. That is amazing.
It's total propaganda. It's amazing.
Yes.
You've got to watch that thing because it says right in there about how if you pay your income tax that it's going to go pay for the war. But actually, it just pays for interest payments to the bankers. Am I not correct?
Yeah, you're pretty much correct there. I mean, our government is so deep in debt that all of the income tax paid by every American citizen isn't even keeping up with the interest.
Exactly.
So they're just basically kiting the debt along, and every administration just does whatever they have to do to get through. I mean, back in the Clinton administration, they basically looted Social Security. Of all the cash set aside for the baby boomers' retirements, they just took that and spent it. That's how they came up with their budget surplus at the end of the Clinton years. And each administration passes the debt forward and says, okay, it's their problem to deal with. I got through it. I'm wonderful. And we've just hit this point where the debt is so out of control here, there really is no way to sustain it. And you know, we're heading for this huge, horrendous crash. But the bottom line is, starting in 1913, we have been serfs for 94 years. We were sold this idea of a Federal Reserve. It's not even constitutional. They waived the quorum rule and then said, okay, we can pass laws without the quorum rule. No, the quorum rule says you must have a minimum number of people to conduct business. Then they bribed President Wilson to sign this thing, and then they lied to us about the 16th Amendment. And I wanted to get to this before we run out of time on the show, and I know we've got another caller waiting with exactly the same name, but hang on for a second here.
Thanks.
On whatreallyhappened.com. Today, you need to look for this article called Sullivan versus United States. It is the transcript of a hearing in March of 2003 where a gentleman tried to file suit to stop the Iraq War because it had not been declared in accordance with the Constitution. And the judge was basically arguing back with him that there was no relief, therefore no reason for the courts to intervene. Basically, he was making up excuses not to do anything about it. And the one that he came up with ultimately is, well, once something has been done, even though it's against the rules, as if they've gotten away with it, we just go along with it. And the example he chose to use was the 16th Amendment. And he admits right in the court record, the 16th Amendment failed ratification. Then he goes on to say, but because we've gotten away with, you know, using it all these years, everybody accepts that it is now part of the Constitution. And so what this tells us is the U.S. government is already aware the 16th Amendment was not ratified. It's all one of those elbows in the side, nudge, nudge, wink, wink things that the insiders know and that we, the serfs, are not supposed to ever find out. And if we do, they just say, oh, you're just a conspiracy wacko cuckoo. But they know it's a fraud. They live by fraud. They live by the lie and deception. And you know, in a nation like that, obviously legal recourse is simply not going to exist, especially because the judges are paid from tax revenues. But, you know, you're talking about this mass media cheerleading. You're absolutely correct. There was another article came out of the Canadian papers today, and the headline was just blatant. Why paying taxes is good. Okay, Tony, we got to let you go here because we've got another caller I want to get to in the last segment of our show today. So, Tony, thank you very much for the call. When we come back, we'll be talking to the other Tony in British Columbia. So stay tuned. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go right back to the phones. Tony in British Columbia. Aloha, Tony. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, thanks, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just wanted to talk, basically make a statement about the big picture. The everything that you're talking about is that actually very important, and especially in terms of waking people up. But let's not forget the big picture. The banks, they changed their reporting procedures, right? Where they started their year as of January. So all these guys are all going to have to report their situations as of middle of May or first week of May.
Yes.
And I've been on this thing, I tell you what, I've been on this 8 hours a day, 24/7 for the last year. And what I think is going to happen is that these guys, the middies, is going to kick up. You can already see it in the Arutz and the Jerusalem Post with, you know, accusing Egypt of supporting Hezbollah. I think they're basically going to go after Iran with a false flag event happening within probably the next 4 weeks.
Okay, I'm not sure about the timetable, but other than that, I agree with you. They need a war as a distraction, especially with what they saw in the streets of America today. You know,
if you look at what's going on Wall Street, these guys are going for broke. It's like they know the car's heading for the cliff.
Yes.
So they're pulling out all the stops, and they just don't care. You know, especially with this latest thing with the FASB accounting changes, you know, it allowed the banks to basically say they pulled the profits sooner.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I'm going to say is that this may or may not happen, but I can tell you what will precede it. If you see Obama making all sorts of conciliatory gestures towards Iran so that in the end he can say, well, we tried, then that's going to be the big signal. Don't forget, these guys, I mean, if you've read The Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein, this is their main playbook. So I'm just telling everybody to keep their eyes open and watch for this kind of stuff going on and not to get distracted so much, and not to lose sight of the big picture by the smaller crises that are going to be happening, locally, so to speak.
Well, no, I understand what you're saying. And I don't think anybody's fooled by this Obama talk about, well, we make concessions and so forth and so on. Because, I mean, we saw the same thing with Iraq. I mean, it's the same thing all over again, that they talk tough, and all of a sudden they say, well, maybe we'll negotiate. And boom, that's when the bombers went in. We know that Barack Obama, we know that the U.S. government as a whole, they need a war someplace. It almost doesn't matter where. Somalia, Pakistan, Iran, North Korea, it really doesn't matter. They need a war because they think it'll save them from the anger of the American people who've just been taxed totally into poverty at this point. Now, what you were saying about the Wall Street boys just, you know, looting the country on their way to the door, and the change in the banking rules allowing mark to market, there's absolute cheating going on here. Now, Goldman Sachs posted a profitable quarter, and the way they did it, it's just coming out right now. The chief financial correspondent for the New York Times, Floyd Norris, has basically blown the whistle that Goldman Sachs simply skipped reporting on December 2008, which was the month in which they took all these huge write-downs. And
exactly.
So by simply ignoring that, then they could say, ooh, we've had a profitable quarter. And apparently appraisers, Wells Fargo is being accused of racketeering because of the way they were pressuring appraisers to basically bypass industry safeguards regarding the valuation of property going into the mortgages. So they're all doing it. They're all doing it. And we look at Bernard Madoff and we say, ooh, bad Bernie for $65 billion. But the whole Wall Street system has become corrupt. And if you think about it, looking back over the last 10 years, it makes sense. They're all getting incredibly rich in a country that doesn't manufacture and sell products anymore. Where was the money coming from, if not from corruption and deceit and cheating and pyramid schemes? You know, it doesn't make sense. If the money is just appearing out of thin air, something is wrong.
Well, yeah, and look where it's going. You know, a lot of it is going, I mean, the Bernie Madoff is basically just, I mean, this guy was a Ponzi putz, but all that money went to the Development Bank in Israel on Rockefeller.
Not all of it. A lot of it went through various pro-Israel foundations and through AIPAC to buy Congress. Bernie was the funding mechanism by which our Congress got bribed.
Well, sure. But he that was 181,000 wires to the Development Bank. And
question about that. Yeah, no question. A lot of it went over there, but not all of it.
No, not all of it. I'm not one of these guys that's basically going to blame the Jews. I mean, that's another story altogether. But
No. I blame Israel, which is not the same thing as blaming the Jews.
I'm just saying that the trend And the acceleration of the trend is what I find so alarming. And it's
yes.
coming to a crescendo, to a peak very, very quickly. This is all I'm saying. We've only got 10 weeks till the summer.
Yes, I agree.
You know?
And, you know, the bottom line is you're absolutely correct. The U.S. government is facing a situation. They either start a war to try and bring back popular support and loyalty, or they're facing a total collapse because we're not listening to them anymore. We don't want to pay their bills anymore. Yes, they can take individual tax protesters like the Browns in New Hampshire and lock them in jail. But if 300 million American people put a stop payment on the tax check they just sent in today, what's the government going to do about it? You know, have 20 guards guarding 300 million Americans? I don't think so.
You're assuming that they can pay their taxes.
Well, that's the point I've been making. We're seeing a huge jump in first-time tax delinquents, and it's not because they're refusing to pay their taxes. They just don't have it. You know, the problem with having a government made up of incredibly rich people is they just don't understand that when people start running out of money, and they've run out of money, they don't have any more to give, it becomes very problematic to go on saying, you must give us more. I mean, the message from the government to the American people for the last 10 years has been, you must make do with less so that we may have more. And they're not getting off that message. The response to the Tea Parties today from the point of view of the government, Obama's statement, and the messages we're getting over the corporate media, they're not going to change a thing. They're going to go on doing exactly like they've been doing before. But like I said before, the importance of today's message that we sent with these thousands of protests across the country, the message wasn't aimed at Washington, D.C. It was aimed at foreign investment capital resident here in the United States. We're sending them a message. If you lose your money, we're not going to replace it. And that's a message. It's going to take a few days to trickle through, but I think we're going to start seeing large amounts of capital start to be very quietly withdrawn from the American investment industry at this point.
It'll be very interesting to see how the mainstream media spins this. If they really spin it on the other side, then you'll know that you've had an effect.
Okay, well, we are going to keep an idea, but when they're down there saying that the tax protesters are neo-Nazis, we know they're terrified. They're just scared out of their mind.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you very much for your phone call, Tony. And, yeah, we're looking at this situation, and I know I've been joking about it, where we keep seeing more and more of these supposedly highly respected Wall Street operatives, and they're busted for running these scams. Stanford Financial, Bernie Madoff, all the others. There's so many I can't remember all the names anymore. And we're beginning to realize that it's not a few individuals. It's not a few bad apples. The whole system went crooked. And it happened back when when Congress repealed Glass-Steagall, which had been put into effect right after the Great Depression, precisely to prevent the situation we're in right now. So somebody made the decision to take off the safety devices and let Wall Street have a real wild party, all on the backs of the American taxpayers. And if you start looking at it in that context, Bernie Madoff may be the staked goat, the sacrificial lamb. We're all going to give our two-minute hate to Bernie Madoff. And meanwhile, a much larger crime has been taking place right in front of our eyes as our entire nation gets stolen and looted. And I've noticed, I've been keeping track of these things at our little online store that we have for What Really Happened. And the coffee cups and T-shirts that say the last official act of any government is to loot the nation, those are selling like hotcakes. They're gone. They're going out the door right now. So people are definitely, they're waking up. It was good to see that many people out there at the tax protests. It was good that it was for them peaceful. I was concerned that there were going to be agents provocateurs out there to try and cause trouble. I think the reason it didn't happen is when it was seen how many thousands of people were out there and how many cities across the United States, they realized that triggering any violence might blow up into a full-scale national riot that they couldn't contain. And I think that's the reason it was kind of low-key. I think this idea of clearing out the protesters from Lafayette Park because somebody tossed a tea bag over the White House fence, that was petty. That was just nonsensical. Okay, that's it for our show today. Tomorrow, hopefully, I will have slides and videos from the Honolulu Tea Party, which we're going to go to in a few hours from now. So until tomorrow, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones. Remember, the protests are not over today. Everybody in government is saying, all right, they had their day of protest. Now they'll go back to work in the fields and farms and make us rich. Not going to happen. This is just the start. Until tomorrow, aloha, America.